This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the Wolves Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Hi-ho, Wolverhampton. What an entrance, what a tune. Well, it is your takeover for the next 30 minutes. You can get involved tonight and have your say on what is turning out to be a wonderful season. But how magic and how far will Wolves go? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, I'm delighted to say that I am now joined, and once again joined, by the brilliant Rye Hooper. Rye, so good to get you back on, and it's been a long time since we spoke, and we are now talking about a Wolves side, your beloved Wolves, who are in the last 16 of the Europa League. Effectively, the job was done in the first leg. 4-0 at home at Molineux, but two games for us to look at now. Two games in which, actually, it was the same scoreline. 3-2, just on the reverse. I think Wolves got the one they wanted. But on that second leg, Rye, job done. What did you make of it?
Yeah, good evening. Great to be back on. It was job done. I think absolutely. I think when you go into the second leg with such a convincing scoreline and know that you feel capable that you're going to at least get a goal away from home, then yeah, I think we were very relaxed. I think we saw in the first leg where Espanyol made 9 changes. I think their priorities were pretty laid out there. And obviously we played a very strong side, so we went in full of confidence and quite relaxed, really. So, yeah, in terms of the context of the game, probably game on reflection we could have won, but I don't think anyone was particularly concerned. It was always going to be a game where perhaps there was an opportunity to freshen things up. One of the positives that came through from the game, taking into account, I think, we're already through, was Pedence getting minutes, a couple of assists as well. And players again like Jota coming into form. So yeah, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion, you know, because we had such a commanding lead. But it was nice to get the job done.
Yeah, nice to get the job done. And obviously, it's disappointing that maybe Wolves lost the game, but it is always difficult, right? When you're in a two-legged contest and when you've won the first leg 4-0, it's always hard to, I don't want to say stay motivated, because obviously Wolves want to win and go far in Europa League, and it's wonderful they're in this competition. But for any team, it's hard to stay at the races mentally.
I suppose it is, really. It's quite funny because we were talking about it. It was kind of like, so a lot of the sound bites were coming out were very professional, saying, oh, sort of, nil-nil. And it's kind of, it reminded me of like Sunday League when you're getting beat heavily and it's like, come on, lads, it's nil-nil. The slate's clean now. And it wasn't, because we were effectively 4-0 up. I know we had another 90 minutes to play. But, yeah, I guess so. I guess that creeped into the players' minds in terms of, you know, I guess, yeah, maybe, you know, although they'll come out and say professionally and publicly, they didn't have an eye on the second leg, but you just wonder how much people are going to come put into it when they think, hang on, you know, I need to be fit, I need to be ready. We've got a big game on the weekend against Spurs, as it was, and feeling as if we're already in the next round. So, you know, I wouldn't question their professionalism, but I think perhaps, you know, you don't have the same intensity and the same edge, and I think perhaps Espanyol, for their part, maybe were a little bit embarrassed when, you know, they lost so heavily in the first game. So there was probably more on it for them in that respect, because I think the scoreline was so comfortable for us to perhaps restore a bit of pride. And for us, it was kind of, yeah, let's just get over the line. Let's keep everybody fit. Let's give people minutes who need them. and then look on to the next one.
Yeah, and it was a rotated side. Obviously, one eye on Spurs, and we'll come to that Spurs game in just a minute. But, you know, it was a game full of goals. But we have to talk about, well, I want to talk about, right, that chance that Neto had to win the game, obviously missing. And to be fair to him, if there's any game you want to miss a chance like that, it was this one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a shocker. I mean, but to give him any credit other than the, you know, effectively the open goal was the fact that he showed again how alert he was, how he was sort of, you know, hanging around the halfway line, anticipating the challenge, and he's so quick. And we won't move on to Spurs just yet, but he showed it again at the Spurs at the weekend. Neto's been a real, real plus for us. I think at a time where Jota was injured, he came in and was it not with a particularly big fanfare, and I don't think there was a lot of talk about, you know, him as there has been other players that we've brought in. Came in with Jordao, who's been in and out sort of the match day squad, and he's been great. But no, it's a shocking of a miss. But like you say, I mean, you can deal with those misses. If it's the Europa League final, it's 5 minutes to go, and he gets brought on, it's 0-0. It's a bit different, isn't it? But yeah, so I'm sure. Let's let him bang that one, and then hopefully next time he's a little bit more composed when it really does matter.
Yeah, and we're talking about a side that was obviously rotated, right? But we're talking about terrific talent, really. Whenever they do rotate, the players that can come in and out of the side. One player that was very quick to make an impact and obviously played and starred in that game was new signing, Daniel Pedence. What are you making of him?
Yeah, he looks good. He looks really good. I mean, we've seen glimpses at this stage. We know, obviously, he came from who our next opponents are, ironically, yeah, in the Europa League. And he came with a good reputation in and around the Portugal squad. So, yeah, he offers a little bit different. Again, he's someone who's very pacey, very slight. I know there was comparisons when he first started in terms of his style about Hazard, in terms of that low centre of gravity, picking players out. So, yeah, he looks exciting, and I think the success we've had recently has really been down to the fact that we've got viable options. You know, if Jota's not firing, then there's Pedence. If Traore's not flying, firing on all cylinders, then, you know, you've got Neto. So I wouldn't say an embarrassment of riches, but we've got different type of players and different type of solutions. So when things might not be going well in the game, we can bring someone else on. So it's really exciting. So, yeah, I think he's a player which fans will be excited about because he's a threat, he's direct, he looks pacey, and he looks like he's got, you know, good assist in him. So, yeah, so far so good. Another exciting young Portuguese player to add to the mix.
Yeah, so far so good. But, right, he's almost like just slipped into the team, fitted into that side, like he's sort of been there 18 months rather than just joined in January. You would never think, you know, he's only just linked up with the boys, the chemistry already. But on obviously that progression to the last 16, Wolves progressing now to the last 16 for the first time since the 1971-72 UEFA Cup. They were actually losing finalists that year. I mean, Nuno's called this a terrific, a massive achievement. How big is this achievement, Ryan? Because we know you want to go a lot further, but, you know, still the achievement that is. And what are you making and the fans making of it?
I think it's huge. I think really for us, and you referenced there in terms of the last time we really were competing on European scale. So it skipped a couple of generations. You know, we weren't in a competition of this level since, I think, 1980-81. So, you know, there's many who are going who have not seen us at this level. So as a fan, as a pure spectacle, it's amazing. But you know, a lot's been talked about in terms of our journey, and, you know, it wasn't so far in our distant past that, you know, we're in the lower leagues and we're in League One and so forth. But kind of, we feel at home in this environment. And I've said to everybody really about this campaign at the start of it, and when people have said, you know, do you fancy us? I've gone, yeah, because ultimately, as we've seen in the performances in the Premier League, we can compete with anyone. So you have to transfer that over to the European competition. If we're in such a strong league, then yeah, the fans are loving it. The fans are brought into it. The fans are brought into it from day one, really. You know, going back to playing Crusaders in the qualifying rounds, because we've probably seen sides probably of a similar size to us not take it seriously, but I think the fans have really brought into it. Mm. And I think maybe we're third favourites now. So
it's crazy.
There's a genuine chance there, absolutely.
Well, there is a genuine chance. Genuinely, we know the bookies think that Wolves can go far. The fans do. Everyone maybe outside of that bubble does as well. Everyone's looking at Wolves and doesn't really want to draw them. Certainly doesn't want to come to Molineux. It was Olympiacos. You already touched upon that, right? What did you make of the draw? I mean, Arsenal crushes as well.
I know. It was one of those, really. I think Arsenal and Spurs come across them in recent years as well.
This very season, yeah.
Yeah. So, I was just excited. I was just really, as a fan, I was excited. I think as a fan, rather than someone involved in the team, you look at things a bit different, don't you? You literally look at, you know, can I get to that game? You know, what iconic stadium we're going to get to. And I think Milan was, at the time, pre sort of the coronavirus, was probably a big attraction to a lot of fans, and, you know, the excitement of going over there. And then you look at, is there a genuine chance? So what was the general consensus? The general consensus was we fancied anyone, really. And so, yeah, we know it's going to be a tough tie, as you've referred to. You know, they've beat Arsenal. They're a very strong side in their league, but again, I think whoever we're up against, we fancied us. So for me, the way I'm looking at it is, it's an opportunity to get through, and I'd be disappointed if over two legs we didn't have enough to get through.
And that's what I love, really, right? Doing this show, speaking to yourself and Jordan, and obviously listening to you guys at the Wolves Fancast, it's crazy. Not because how brilliant you are, but just you think 2 years ago we're in the Championship, and now we're going be disappointed if over two legs we're not beating someone like Olympiacos. And all right, they're not maybe the biggest of European heavy hitters, but they have a wonderful European pedigree, and now Wolves are going, yeah, we got to the last 16, but we should get through in the next round as well.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. And yeah, sometimes we all have those moments, I think, as Wolves fans, where we kind of check ourselves and look at where we've come. But I've always been one to say, let's live in the moment and live in the right now, and this is where we are. So when I look at the journey we've been on so far in Europe, and look at the size we've beaten, you know, we went over to Besiktas, and, you know, incredible pedigree again as a European side, really good record against English sides, and we won. You know, earlier than that, we went to Torino and won. So I think, you know, we've been in this competition what seems like a long time already, and we've got players, as I've mentioned before, who are prime for this type of thing. You know, we're not going up against teams who, yes, okay, Olympiacos as a club have got more experience in recent years, but if you look at our players, then they've probably got just as much experience as those that they'll be coming up against.
Yeah, well, and obviously let's talk about the Spurs game, Ryan, because it just seems to be going better and better each week, strength by strength. Obviously, twice coming from behind. How good was that performance and that result, especially when it was coming just 3 days after the Europa League? And this is what's asked of the teams in European competitions, right? To not only go and get a result then in midweek and in Europe, but then you have to replicate that on the weekend, and showing that actually the rotation that Nuno was afforded to do paid off.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I didn't have too much concerns with the schedule in terms of playing the game in the week, because although we did at the start of the season, we've shown this season, for example, I think we went to Besiktas and then went to the Etihad and got a result, for example. So the players are kind of part of this routine now and part of this rotation where they seem equipped for it. And I think also in context with a Spurs game, I looked at their side and I thought, yeah, I think I fancy this. You know, we were unfortunate in the reverse fixture at home this season not to have won the game. We did well against, I would say, a stronger Spurs side last season. So I think psychologically, when you're facing a side who hasn't got Kane, hasn't got Son, and, you know, they've left a couple on the bench and us being in good form, then I fancied us. We went a goal behind, but then we've done that a lot this season as well. You know, with the type of players that we've got, we're always in the game. So good performance and a good result. But one, I would have been disappointed if we didn't get 3 points, because I looked at it before the game and thought, yeah, this is one we can get 3 points from.
Yeah, I know, and that's just actually another sign of strength that Wolves saying, you know, we can go to Spurs, go to these stands, we're expecting to get the points when you've gone to teams like Man United. It's us that are being feared. Jordan predicting a win as well. I just want to quickly talk about, because, Ryan, we could actually do a fan show on Jimenez, Traore, Neto, Jota. I mean, every week there's one player that I want to single out, and one player that now we don't really single out, and we should do a lot more and give him the plaudits, is Doherty, because he's now scored 15 goals in all competitions since the start of last season. It's actually more than any other defender, but he is tied with eight goals for Virgil van Dijk for just Premier League goals. How important is he, and how good is he, Rye?
Well, I think for the first point, he's massive for us, you know, in terms of his importance and the quality that he has. He's a real success story. I think, you know, so people listening may or may not know, but we signed him, I think, after a trial, and I think he cost around $100,000 for us. And he's been with the club, obviously, a long time. He's probably the longest-serving player. He's been through a lot of managers, a lot of regimes. But I think under Nuno, and it's not unlike other players, like Cody, for example, his game has improved even more. And as you say, the fact that he's getting into that opposition box and he's always looking like he's got a chance. Things have changed for him with formations this year, but he struck up a good sort of partnership down that wing. And he's fantastic, yeah. I guess he's not a fashionable name, as you perhaps alluding to there. You know, other players will get the plaudits, but he's very, very solid. And I think good full-backs or wing-backs, they're pretty difficult to get hold of, aren't they, really? So I think once you've got someone like him who knows the system and his game has evolved, it's fantastic. You know, I often think of players and I think, if we are going to progress, where we're going to go to in the next few years, are they going to be replaced? Are they going to be moved on? Well, he's basically saying, no, I want to stop around. I've been here a while, but I'm going to step up to that level that's required and some more. So, no, he's been absolutely fantastic, and he deserves all the credit that he's rightly getting at the moment.
Yeah, just a team full of talented individuals, but also playing as a team. It's absolutely frightening. Literally, right, I kid you not, everyone I talk to, certainly in the Love Sport office, just talks about Wolves. It's just fascinating to see. But we are talking about, obviously, the game on the weekend, a little bit more about Spurs and that fantastic result coming from behind, and a few questions I've got for Rye.
Love Sport.
Well, it is quite hard to put the finger on it, Rye, why, you know, Wolves have won that many points coming from. It's actually a good stat to have, rather than a team like West Ham who've gave up the most points from winning positions. But you mentioned maybe it's because of a little, you know, hangover from playing midweek, then the weekend again. But Nuno was quick to praise the team after that Spurs game, actually, saying it's amazing the energy levels that we put into the game, the recovery we have. It is a challenge, but the boys are embracing the challenge. And when you do that, this is what we can show we can do to everyone. And there is something in that, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And I think something you touched on there is that the recovery is absolutely huge. You know, I've got a couple of people who work within the club who talk to me about the sports science of the game. And, you know, in terms of when they finish the game, you know, straight away their recovery starts. And I think, you know, our medical department's got to be praised there as much as the players in terms of the recovery, in terms of getting them ready and getting them fresh. Because I think what we're seeing is what you're referencing there is, you know, and particularly in the Spurs game, in later stages of the game, there's so much energy, you know, and yes, okay, you can bring someone on who's going to bring that, but even within the players that have played. So I think, you know, it's huge credit to the sort of the medical side and the sports science side of the club and the players themselves. You know, these are disciplined players and there's a lot of research that goes into them. You know, I suppose it's no coincidence that a lot of our medical team have been looked at by other teams and sort of the model in which we do, because I think the stats borne out that if we've played the most games again and when we've used the least amount of players again, so, you know, and we're doing quite well for it. So there's got to be a little bit more to it than that. And I think it's all about preparation and recovery. And, these are fantastic professional athletes. And I don't think you're lucky having a good injury record at times. I think there's a lot that goes into it. And this is the second year on the bounce where, you know, yes, we've been fortunate, but I think there's a lot that goes into it to make sure the players are ready and competing and towards the end of games is still looking most likely.
Yeah, and we mentioned a recovery, and for me, right, it may sound absolutely daft, but one thing that I think, you know, we genuinely think that all teams should have this togetherness, you know, a brotherhood almost, but I really feel that Wolves had that, and it was kind of highlighted for me. I can't remember what goal it was on the night against Espanyol in the second leg, but the camera panned to Nuno, just he was sort of like in a huddle with all his staff and, you know, congratulating them, hugging them, you know, we've got this achievement, we're through to the next round, and I thought, I know every manager enjoys a goal, but there was just that moment there. It was so genuine and so sincere, you know, and you could tell how close they all were.
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely key. And I think, you know, I noticed when he's won sort of the Manager of the Month award, he's kind of made a big thing where he'll have everybody involved, you know, with the official photo and trophy, you know, kit man upwards, you know. And I think there is that sort of team bonding, and I think that's a big part of it. You know, a lot of them have come from Portugal and they've given up a lot to kind of come here. I know they're well paid for it, I know they love it, but, you know, they've literally devote their time. And I see a lot of stuff online, as we all do, on social media about the players spend a lot of time together, and I think there is that tightness, there is that togetherness. And I think, you know, this team hasn't happened overnight, and I don't think the team spirit hasn't as well. I think we're lucky that we've got someone in Connor Cody who's a natural leader and a spokesperson for them, and then I think we've got players who genuinely seem to get on. You know what it's like, you don't always get on with people you work with, but there just seems a genuine sort of camaraderie there. And Cody, who's been at the club a long time, references that team spirit, and I think when the going gets tough, I think that helps, and I think that's been borne out at least for the last two seasons.
Yeah, and quickly, Ray, you spoke about the medical team and they deserve some credit. There's been rumours of late about Adama Traore could be forced into surgery because he's apparently dislocated his shoulder 3 times in 16 games. How much more do you know about this? Because I haven't heard it reported too, you know, across the board. What is going on? What's the latest state of play?
Yeah, I think they're keeping the cards close to the chest on that one. I think we've seen it sort of in live action. They're kind of playing it down at the moment, whether or not they're just getting him through. But the guy's like a robot, isn't he, really? You know, you see him go down, he went down again like on the weekend, and it was pretty innocuous. So, yeah, I don't know the finer details. I think there's probably an issue there, and I think they're just trying to nurse it because, as you know and everyone listening knows, how effective he's been for us. So hopefully there's nothing too serious and we can keep him going. But as I say, he's in very good hands.
Yeah, and obviously, right, it is Brighton on the weekend then. Quickly, they want to continue this form. Brighton need to pick up points. Points at a premium for them because maybe they are on the slide. It is at home. What are you making of this one?
I think you've got to fancy us. I know we had, I think, one of the Brighton podcasts, We Are Brighton, on the Wolves Fancast this week, and I think he was very concerned. You know, they're on a bad run, and collectively as a form, they're struggling. So we've got to fancy it ultimately, haven't we? We're in good form, we're in good shape. The only injury issue we've got is Johnny Otto, who was out in the last game anyway, so there's nothing new there injury-wise that I'm aware of at the time of speaking to you. So pretty much a full strength side, so you've got to fancy us. So I would expect us to win and expect us to win well.
Yeah, expecting to win, but what is your score prediction, Roy?
I go 2-0. 2-0 would be nice. A clean sheet again would be fantastic for us. So, yeah, I reckon 2-0 the weekend.
Another win, another brace of goals and a clean sheet, right? It's just too good for Wolves at the minute. Really good to get you back on, right? The show's absolutely flown, but when it's going so well, things are easy. Ry Hooper there from the Wolves Fancast. Always good to hear from him, but Wolves are flying. It's Brighton on the weekend and Olympiacos the week after. So much to talk about. Lucky we're doing it all over, as we do every Wednesday, 8 to 8.30, right here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.